These lectures are given in memory of Nathan and Vivian Fink, Aleha Shalom. Tonight, Rabbi Lookstein will introduce Rabbi Herschel Schechter, our revered rabbi. The topic tonight is his first of the year, the His Teshuvah Shir. Ladies and gentlemen, our own revered Rabbi Haskell Lookstein.
Thank you. like to speak tonight about the specifically, namely the historical background of Yom Kippur. We know that every Yom Kippur, both those mentioned in the Torah and those that are common has some historical background. We know what the historical background of Yom Kippur, the Islam, the historical background of Shavuot, and the Sinai. We know Chanukah and Purim, we know Sukkot. Roughly what it was particularly on that day of Sukkot, but we reminisce about the fact that the Jews were traveling in the desert and so on. The historical background of Rosh Hashanah, you know, was well. The Talmud tells us, and the Gavi, we mentioned it, Hayom HaRetzayim, that Yom Kippur, that Rosh Hashanah is the day in which the world was created. The world was created means Adam Rishon was created. God created the world in the sixth day, the rest on the seventh day, and the last 5 days in Chayishel were the first 5 days of creation, and Rosh Hashanah was the sixth day of creation when Adam Rishon was created. But that's the historical background of Rosh Hashanah, and that's why we all assume that the Yom Tov, the theme of the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah is a universal theme. It applies to the non-Jews as well as the Jews. That Adam Rishon was created on that day, and he was commanded by God not to eat from the Eitz HaDaat, and he sinned, and he was judged on that day, and he was punished on the same day. So the Baruch Hu told Adam Rishon that just like you were judged on this day, so too your descendants will be judged on this day on Rosh Hashanah throughout all the future generations. So the Talmud tells us, and the Davening mentioned it, the Mishnah says this in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, that Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment for all of mankind, not just for the Jewish people. Kol Bayerma, Arvin Lafanav Kibnei Moron. All of mankind is judged by Rosh Hashanah. In that sense, and the Talmud tells us that the din is made on Rosh Hashanah, and the Chassim, the Chassim is on Rosh Hashanah, the Chassim is on Yom Kippur, the Gemara, the final conclusion of the din is on Yom Kippur. So in that sense, Yom Kippur is a hemshich, it's a continuation of Rosh Hashanah. In that sense, it has a universal theme. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, it's interesting, the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch on Hilchos Rosh Hashanah that on Leil Yom Tov, the night of Rosh Hashanah, after the davening, so we greet each other, and tell the person, which should be written in the Book of Life for every year. So, you know, when Avraham had done, that's not happening. We've been following on our own, so we should tell the person, we should tell the person. It should be signed off with the Tziva and the Hasim. It should be written in the book, and it should be sealed as well. Why do we add on to Chasim? Because we read in the Talmud, the simple reading of the passage in the Talmud, that Tzadikim Gemurim, their din, their judgment takes place on Rosh Hashanah. Right away on Rosh Hashanah, his margin is made, we don't have to wait for Yom Kippur. Rishon Gemurim are written down, they're written in the Book of Death, and they're sealed for the margin right away on Rosh Hashanah. Beinanim, if 98% of the people are in between, maybe less than 98%, I don't know. Very few people are Tzadikim Gemurim, very few people are Rishon Gemurim, but those who are the Tzadikim Gemurim and Rishon Gemurim, they are Nechtovim and Nechtovim, Lahalta Lachaim, or Lahavdal, the other direction, Lahalta Lachaim. And the Beinanim are clearly young, the Sivo of the Adin takes place on Rosh Hashanah, and the Gemaridim, the Hasina, takes place on Yom Kippur. So that's why we agree, that's why the meaning has developed over the years, that we greet each other on Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Tavit, the Chasa, the Sechasa, and the Sifan Shal Tzadikim Gemurim, speak to each other, the other party will be upset at them. And if you demur them, I'll tell them, the altar, right away, the margin, the chayy. So that's why we greet each other, see the rachas in the place. There's only going on the dock, quotes those who disagree, the Ramam Ibanu, the Ramam quotes those who disagree, to say that we read the Gemara wrong. It doesn't say that. That there is no such exception to the rule. As far as everybody is concerned, the ksiv is on Rosh Hashanah, and the chasim is on the kippur, and that's why he says it doesn't make sense to say, there is no such thing. That's why this is not the Shem's word. The Gemara deal is the Chassima for everybody, for 100% of the people, not just for 98% of the family. For 100% of the people, the Gemara deal is always on Yom Kippur. So in that sense, Yom Kippur is a continuation of Rosh Hashanah, and it has this universal theme, and it has application to the non-Jewish world as well. However, it is clear from the Midrashim that there are additional themes to Yom Kippur, and that there is another historical background to Yom Kippur, which is unique to the Jewish people, and only we celebrate this. It only has relevance as far as we are concerned. That historical background is that when the Baruch Hu chose Avraham Avinu, and he commanded him to perform the mitzvah of this milah, that commandment was given on Yom Kippur, and he performed the mitzvah of milah on Yom Kippur. That's what the Medrash says in Pirkei Rav Lezer. That's in Hayom Hazeh, all Avraham seeks to know. These days, the prophet said, I don't have any of the God himself, and now I'm Jebeso. Today, this would be against our law. You're not permitted to do a bris. Neither on Shabbat nor on Yom Tov, unless it's a meal of his mind. The baby was born a week ago, and it's a vada, it wasn't born in Hashmashu, so we're thinking that the bris was postponed, it's a baby, it's a baby, whatever, then you're not permitted to do the bris. Not on Shabbat, not on Yom Tov, not even on Yom Tov Sheni. Even if it's only the second day Yom Tov from the Rabbanon, that we observe our chutzlots, also you're not permitted to do this. In a place of Pitaskin, you're not permitted to do a meal of Shaloi this man after the bris was postponed. But at that time, in the days of Avraham Avinu, he wasn't yet commanded to observe Yom Kippur. He wasn't given Shabbat Yom Kippur. But in that Mishpachah, the Rebbe says that he was given that commandment to perform the mitzvah of Milah on himself and on the members of his household, his Avodim, on Yom Kippur, and perform the mitzvah exactly on that day. But historically, Yom Kippurim is the anniversary of the Tiras Yisrael. That's when the Jewish people began. That's the beginning of the history of the Kedusha Sifra. Before Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah of Mila, he was a tzaddik, he was unusual, he was in the character of Tahas Kasha, character of Ashkina, he believed in monotheism, everything, Al-Fatanam, everything was wonderful, but he didn't have any unique mitzvah, he didn't have anything that singled him out, it made him different from the Yom Kippur. Only when he began to be commanded to perform the mitzvah of Mila, then he was endowed, from that time on, he was endowed with the Kedusha Sifra. Kedusha means Kedusha of the Mitzvah of Sifra. If that person is holy, what does it mean? It means that he has mitzvahs and he performs the mitzvahs. But if a person, Avraham Avinu, up until this point, up until the time he was commanded to perform the mitzvah, had the Shevet mitzvah given away, the same as the non-Jewish world, he observed the Shevet mitzvah given away, truly observed it better than anybody else. But he didn't say that he had any higher level of Kedusha. There is no Kedusha to the given away. So it was at that time that the Bechiras Yisrael occurred, the chosenness of the Jewish people was established, and the Kedusha Yisrael began at that time. The Kuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi points out in the Sefer Kuzari that the Middle Ages and all the philosophy books, we used to divide everything in the creation into four categories. Then we come there, mineral, vegetable, and animal, and human being. So the Kuzari says he thinks that it's not fully accurate. We have to add a fifth category, Yisrael. The Jewish nation is a separate breed. It's not that we just belong to the same category as the human people with a little snake shattered on them. We have to observe them. It's a totally different being. He has a discussion with the king. The king had a dream. In the book of the Kuzari, the king had a dream that he had pure motives, but he wasn't observing. He wasn't Jewish. He wasn't observing the proper religion. He was an Obadiah and his other. So the king again had the recurring dreams by them. He realized he has to change his religion, so he pulled upon the representative of the three major faiths. At that time, the Jewish faith and the Christians and the Muslims, each one presented their religion, and he decided that the Jewish religion was the true one, and he converted, he and his whole kingdom converted to Judaism, supposed to be a true story. And that was the Malchus HaKuzari. So the Yehuda Halevi writes a historical novel, so to speak, as to what the discussion was that was going on between this king and the rabbi and the chofer, the chofer, who was telling him all about Judaism, what the king was asking. That part is already historical now, that's not the time. And the chofer, the rabbi, speaking to the king, said, what would he say if I would tell you that there's somebody who can fast for 40 days or 40 nights without eating, without drinking, he doesn't have to sleep, and he can concentrate, and he can think the whole time. So the Melech, the king says, well, that's not a human being, that's like an angel. He says, well, that's what the Jewish people are. So we find that Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. And he left him by a halt in mind that should see, he didn't eat, he didn't drink. And the Medrash says he was running all day and all night. And the Russians say he was running Torah Shabbat Tzav in the daytime, Torah Shabbat Tzav in the nighttime. And he didn't sleep, so this is an unusual thing. And the Mother told Moshe Rabbeinu, normal Jews can't do it, but if we belong to the same category as Moshe Rabbeinu, that means that we are all something very different. And this is such a significant difference that separates the Jewish people totally from the human Sarimah. It's a different difference. The Sufi tell us in the Torah, we are the children of our Kaddish Baruch Hu. Mishnah says the 50 others. Kavi Vadim Shiliver Bitzelim, all the mankind has a yichas that we were all created with Tzelem Akim. Every man has the same Kavshik. Even in Israel, Shiliver Bitzelim Ramach, the Jewish people, has a special unique feature that the Limakorim don't have. And we are Bonim Ramach. What do you mean Bonim Ramach? The Limakorim explained, Api Pashtas, just like children carry over the genes of their parents, so too the Bnei Yisrael have something different in their genes. It doesn't necessarily mean physically, but it certainly means spiritually. There's something very different about the neshama of a Jewish person. The Yom HaTayim have one type of the neshama, and Bnei Yisrael have a different type of the neshama. This is what we mean when we speak of the Chiyus Yisrael. This is what you study. You daven it all the time, you don't have to do the Shema, you have to have a Chalim Kol Ha'am. After the song of the people born with the Tanakh from Hashem, they're starting to see that the Jewish people are something different. It's a different neshama. By the Yom HaSoylem, by the Chafi Yom HaSoylem, they claim that they believe in Tavya Lerazim, that man is not born with any innate desire to do one thing or the other, the neshama is clear, and the man decides later on with Kira Kavshit what he wants to do. They are right, as far as they are concerned. They are right, as far as beautiful, as far as the Bnei Yisrael are concerned. The halacha says that it's not so. Ein neshama is a different neshama. The Talmud tells us whatever this means, however one should take it, literally, figuratively, whatever it means, but the Talmud says that each baby before it's born, baby Jewish boy and girl, is taught by the Malach Kala Torah Kula. Each child is taught the Torah to make an indelible impression upon his neshama. So the neshama is a totally different type of the neshama from those of the human soul. So, let's say if you have a non-Jew who converts, what happened? He used to have a goyish neshama, so the Zohar says, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a new neshama. This whole concept that there's a different type of a Jewish neshama, this was a bria that began on Yom HaKippurim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Avraham Avinu to perform the mitzvah of Milah. That was the first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people, after the Sheva mitzvah has been announced. This is what singled out the Uma Yisrael is, with the Kedusha Yisrael, with the Tachiras Yisrael. That was the beginning of this creation. The Rambam has in his commentary on Chumash, he points out the similarity between the Shonos of the Pesukim with respect to the Gezilah, the Pasuk of Ani, Nisi, Iso, with respect to protecting the Anchor of Avinu, the Anchor of the Burden, that Esau chasing after him, and from the Prophet says, Hine Enochi Ito, Peshmatiha B'chol Asher Teilech. So the Rambam points out, based on Kabbalah sources, based on Zohar and other sources, he says, the Shonos are so similar. Hine Nisi Ito, Hine Enochi Ito. He says, the meaning of this Mila is not only to indicate years ago when there was slavery, the institution of slavery, that the slaves would have, like the Nazis, made tattoos. They put marks on the body, numbers on the person's body, like you put on behemoths. Behemoths that belong to a certain farm, that they put a mark on the leg of the animal that you should know who is the owner of the behemoth. So years ago they used to make marks on the slaves. They used to put chains around the slaves' arms and their feet, that they had to wear special clothing in order to know who he belongs to. So that's one simple understanding of what this meal is all about. And we are all our brothers and sisters, broken, we are slaves to God, and he wants us to have a mark in our bodies. But it's something more than that, and Ramban explains that the mitzvah of Mila is to demonstrate in and at the ethos, in those this ethos, that the Bnei Yisrael have a hanhagah ramayim in our tent, that we are closer to our Kodesh Baruch Hu than the Bnei Yisrael. And this is the neshama HaYisrael, which is a separate type of the neshama that was given to Avraham Avinu and to all of his descendants on Yom HaKippur. The first time it was given was on Yom HaKippur. The Talmud tells us in the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah that when we write documents, when you write a shtar, so you have to write a date, so that you should know when the money was borrowed, when the money was sent back, when you had the business transaction, you have to know when it was sold, when it was bought, and so on. So usually you write the date, 1992, or you write Tavshin Yom Tes, or Tavshin Yom Gimel, whatever the date, whatever the year happens to be. That's a common practice today. Years ago, in the days of the Tanoim, until the Middle Ages, the practice deep into the Middle Ages, the practice by the Jewish people, only governed by the non-Jews, they would write how many years it was since Hakam HaKamadim, since the establishment of that country. In America, you would write how many years it is since July 4th, 1776. In France, you would write how many years it is since Hakam HaKamadim over there. And in France, you would write whatever country you live in, you would write how many years it is since the beginning of the establishment of the government. So the Mishnah, beginning the opening sukkah of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, says that when do you write that it's the second year, when do you write that it's the third year? You don't wait till after July 4th, 1777 to write the second year since the establishment of the government in the United States of America, and then July 4th, 1778, you write this is the third year since the establishment of the government. The Mishnah says no, that there's a cutoff point. When it comes a certain date, an arbitrary date, you already consider it the beginning of the next year. When is that arbitrary date going to be considered the beginning of the next year? As far as counting history is concerned, so the Mishnah, the very first Mishnah, the Talmud, the Mishnah, draws a distinction between Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Umasar. If it's a Jewish government, so it's the Echad Benis, it's Rosh Hashanah and Malchus Yisrael. If it's a non-Jewish government, then you have a government. That is, other than a Jewish government, doesn't mean it's a Jewish government in the United States. A Jewish mayor in the U.S. Jewish. That's not called a Jewish government. A Jewish government means a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So they have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, it's supposed to be. But that's called Malchus Yisrael. So the cutoff point for that government is Echad Benis. When it comes to Chodesh Nisan, it's already called the second year. And even if the government, this king was just appointed a week before, he was just appointed on Purim. He was just appointed Erev Rosh Chodesh. Just Erev Rosh Chodesh. When it comes to Rosh Chodesh, the second day of the kingdom, you already write the second year of the king, of the establishment of the king, because yesterday was the first year, and Rosh Chodesh Nisanam is the second year. And if it's Malchus Umasarim, if it's any other secular government, not the government of Eretz Yisrael, also says, if it's not anything other than the Jewish government of Eretz Yisrael, so then we declare that the arbitrary cutoff point is that of the Tishrei. When it comes to the first day of Tishrei, that's Rosh Hashanah and Malchus Umasarim. What is that all about? Why should that be so? Why should it be this arbitrary distinction? Why should we pick on these two arbitrary dates, Erev Nisan as opposed to Erev Tishrei? What does that represent? So then it is, in his commentary on Chumash, explained very clearly that we believe that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in Sheshes Nivreishis, and we celebrate on Rosh Hashanah, Zeh Hayom Tfilas Maaseh. Rosh Hashanah is Hayom HaRaseh, that's the birthday of the world as far as the history is concerned, that's the part of Arishin is created. Anything before Arishin, the first 5 days of Sheshes Nivreishis, is pretty dark. There's nobody around, there's no longer going under. So we consider it as if Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of all of the history of the world. So we assume that just like Hashem created the world on Rosh Hashanah, we assume that there was a hiskatshu, somehow all of Teva is renewed again on Rosh Hashanah. It's as if everything is injected with new life to continue on its own system, to continue in its system of Teva. Kukya Teva is supposed to be renewed on Rosh Hashanah. And on Nisan, what happened in the month of Nisan? The Talmud tells us that the Nisan, Nigalu, the Nisan are sitting in the world. The Buddha is flying over the month of Nisan, and the Sikhi tells us, the end of the prophecy of the Tester, the Tester, that the Guru Haskidah will take place in this, whatever that means, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, or Mashiach, we're not sure exactly what, but somehow the Gula, some major aspect of the Guru Haskidah, the redemption to come, will occur in Chodesh Nisan. And the Talmud understands that the month of Nisan is singled out by Chodesh Baruch Hu as the month of Nisan, the month of Hanhovah Lamayim HaTeva. Tishrei is the month that represents Teva. That's the month when Hashem, Echad the Tishrei on Rosh Hashanah, God created Teva, created the whole natural order. So we assume that the Echad the Tishrei, the whole natural order is renewed and re-injected with vigor to continue to go on another year. And the Echad the Nisan is the beginning of the month of Nisan, or Lamayla Min HaTeva. This month of Nisan was designated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodesh. Jewish history begins from Nisan, doesn't begin from Tishrei. Because that's the major difference between Jewish history and non-Jewish history. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in Sheshes Nivreishis, he established principles of physics and chemistry and geometry and astronomy, etc., and principles of history that govern all historical situations. That if a person understands, just like if you mix two chemicals together, somebody who knows chemistry can predict what the result will be, what the reaction will be, so too. The person understands the rules and regulations of history, if presented with any given situation, he can predict what will be the outcome. Because there are rules and regulations that govern history. Shaynik in Jewish history is Lamayla Min HaTeva. Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, for the Jewish people, Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Chodesh, is the beginning of all of our history. Our history is Lamayla Min HaTeva. And Ramban has it in his commentary on the Torah, in several places, that this is a major point in our belief, that the history of the Jewish people is a Hanhova Nisi, something Lamayla Min HaTeva. So for that reason, that we consider Echad the Tishrei, the Rosh Hashanah, the Malchus Yisrael, and Echad the Nisi, it's not just arbitrary, not just that we want to be different. There's a reason over here, it makes sense. Jewish history is Lamayla Min HaTeva, for the Hanhova Nisi that the world has was established in Chodesh Nisi. Echad the Nisi is the Rosh Hashanah from Hanhova, for God's running the world in a Lamayla Min HaTeva fashion. Sheni came, all the history of the non-Jewish people was established in Sheshes Nivreishis, so that's what we celebrate on Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah, Echad the Tishrei, the Rosh Hashanah, the Malchus Yisrael, for all of the secular history of the rest of the nation, for the rest of the world. And the Mefarshim point out that just like this is true regarding Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah and Echad B'Nissi, the same is true regarding Yom HaKippur. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu established the institution and the idea of Kedushas Yisrael and Mechirus Yisrael and the existence of the Neshama of the Yisrael on Yom HaKippur, when the mitzvah of Bris Milah was given to Avraham Avinu for the first time. And he performed the mitzvah on the same day, but even if he wouldn't have performed the mitzvah, just being obligated to himself as the first children was there, and that he was right. When Avraham Avinu was obligated in this additional mitzvah, he already got the Kedushas Yisrael. Then when he was mal himself, he bought it to the kasha, he was an oral, after an oral, he was after an oral service as well. The Rosh says that after after a Jew who is an oral, maybe a oral. But a non-Jew cannot serve as well. The Rosh says the moment that Avraham Avinu was commanded in the mitzvah of Mila, he already got the Kedusha Shir, even before he performed the mitzvah of Mila himself. But he didn't, even though he was an oral, he was a Yisrael oral. The Kedusha Shir all came from the tzimri of the mitzvah. So just like the initial Neshama Yisraelis, this institution of Kedushas Yisrael and Tiras Yisrael was established originally on Yom Kippur. We assume that it is renewed every year on Yom Kippur for those who let it be renewed. If a person is a Baal HaBeira, he's not interested in renewing anything in his Neshama. He won't be renewed, but if a person is interested, a person is interested in his children. On Yom Kippur, he has the opportunity to have his Neshama renewed. It's interesting, we have Minhagim and Shulchan Aruch, but many of the pretty widespread things that the men go to mikveh in some communities in the village, women have to mikveh before Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur. What are these minhagim all about? So before Rosh Hashanah, some Rishonim write, the Rosh at the end of Masechus Yuma writes, that there is a principle in the Talmud, that one is obligated to go to mikveh to become tohor, to purify himself. The Rosh understood the Gaon, he's having said that this mitzvah not only applies to Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, that it even applies to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And he doesn't like that idea, he thinks that it doesn't make any sense. And of course, the later commentators point out, the Shabbat Sayyid Ahmed, how can it apply to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? There's the whole idea of Tzayyad Ahmed, Tzayyad Ahmed, Tzayyad Ahmed, you have to go to mitzvahs in order to be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash to bring the Korbanos, but the whole mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel only applies to Pesach Shavuot Sukkot. What application does it have to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Of course, one is curious and interested in seeing what's going on with Kangolo and Mikvah. So Kangolo and Mikvah will run into the base on Mikvah to see the spectacle of Kangolo running back and forth and doing all of it, but he doesn't have to, if he doesn't want to, that's just Chicago, if he wants to. He's not obligated to go into the base on Mikvah. So why should Chai Vado and Tyrak and Berego with Walter and Hashem? Because there's a whole literature on it. But others it's generally assumed a different reason. Why do we go to Mikvah there, Rosh Hashanah? So the question points out, the Talmud says that Ezra made a Takone, that one has to go to mikveh before he davened and before he learned. And in the later generation, they saw that it was too difficult to observe the takonah, and that the overwhelming majority of the people were never observing this takonah, so the Talmud says that it was lifted. This takonah says it was lifted, and one is permitted to learn Torah, even without going to mikveh, giving Torah not to happen to it. So there's a dispute regarding that line in the Talmud, in my brothers, when it says that the takonah says your words revoked regarding Talmud Torah, does that only apply to learning Torah? Does it even apply to davening? Maybe you still have to go to mikveh in order to daven. So most of the Rishonim say no. One thing you go to Tachanah Sezer is both with respect to Tachanah Sezer and with respect to tefillah to davening as well. And there is a minority opinion that not so. That if a person wants to learn, he does not have to go to mikveh. But if he wants to daven and to say a bracha, then he has to go to mikveh. So as always, the tefillah in the Makkah that doesn't come from thin air, it comes from this opinion. That's the Rosh Hashanah. So although all year long we follow the Rambam's opinion, the majority opinion of the Rishonim, that one is permitted both to learn and to daven, or by going to mikveh, it's not necessary. Some of the things make shuvah, the meaning is that we're machna and all kinds of things. We're machna and all kinds of tzatzakos, baked bread, and take some cookies that are baked by non-Jews, and the things make shuvah, even though strictly speaking, that's really muta, but we should not say the machna not to do it. Go to the machna over here, to go to mikveh before davening and Rosh Hashanah. Well, that's what it usually is. So what happens if a person doesn't feel well and it's too difficult to go to mikveh? So they say the Shulchan Aruch, we have certain leniencies that it's not necessary to go. So a mikveh person can take a shower, they should cover with all for these conditions. So what about the kippah? The same thing. Why do you go to mikveh of Yom Kippur? Also, we want to be machmir, to go to mikveh for the purpose of davening, and if the person doesn't feel well and it's too difficult, it's too uncomfortable, so we should allow him to take a shower to be lying if they should cover. So the Shalom says no. He's not going to meet the Arizona kick, it's not because he's going to meet the Arizona show. It's not because of the Chumra that he wanted to get to the Yeshiva Shabbat. We showed him to follow that rule that one has to, accept a Panathesa or to expect to see. No, it's a different thing. You're going to Mikvah, Erev Yom Kippur has to do with tshuva. What do you mean it has to do with tshuva? What's the connection between tshuva? That is a common practice by the Arizal, by others, by people to go to Mikvah, the person is about tshuva. What is the connection? So the explanation is given because at Yershin is Gavir, when a non-Jew wants to convert, Aloha says, it's absolutely required that he has to go to Mikvah. In addition to the Greek Nemo, 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 the converted only by having this Nemo. He didn't have the Nemo, the Mishra, the Nemo, the Nemo, the Kilo, the Nemo, he's a Greek Nemo, the same guy that he was before he did the Nemo. The Nemo alone is not sufficient to accomplish a Christian Israel. So not only is this true, that's strictly all he did. A Greek Nemo, the converted has to go to the Mishra. Once he goes to the Mishra, he becomes Jewish. What does that mean he becomes Jewish? He acquired this new neshama in Israel that he never had before. New bria that the Rebbeinu Shlom puts into him. He used to have a neshama of the Umas Ha'olam, now he gets a neshama in Israel. It's a new thing. So the person is a Baal Aveira, means that he has taken his neshama. And he's interested in being for you to choose it, because he wants late Toha growing on a king. He wants to, as the Baal Aveira writes with him, he wants to acquire a new heart, he wants to acquire a Jewish heart, which he wants to do this. He's supposed to have seen as something like a Ger Havoli, his God. He wants to be turned back to the state that he was in originally, that he was a regular normal Jew, a Shema Mitzvah, not a Baal Aveira. That's why Atika Baal Aveira recommend that the person should be taken on the Mitzvah, similar to the Ger Havoli, his God. So the Rabbi Shemin says, the Rabbi Gaonim will say that an Erev Yom Kippur, that the real demon after the prophet says in Chumash, Bnei Hashem, Bitaru. So the Rabbi Nesad Yigoyen understands that the Nesad Yigoyen has a Sefer Mitzvahs. He lists off what he considers the Tariyah Mitzvahs on Erev. He writes, this is at the Rosh, at the end of Yom Kippur, the Rabbi Yigoyen, that the Tervelin, the Mikra, and Erev Yom Kippur has nothing to do with Kapan Zal Keri, and since that concluded the Mitzvah Shekav, and Bakr Shalom says. But not Bakr Shalom says that it's for Tshuva. No, he holds that it's enough. See, this is Kabbalah. No, a Dilman Aperah. And he says it's their brother. You know, Bakr Shalom says the Tervelin, the Kasher, the Mitzvah, can't be a man of mitzvah, not just a mitzvah that the Siddur would use all year long, it's not a shuvah and it's not, no. That's the ideal caution mitzvah because it's a mitzvah and a Torah, according to Rav Tadigon, to be tevel in the mikvah and Erev Yom Kippur, based on the pasuk, that's how he reads the pasuk. Lefnei Hashem, titaru, before you're mekabel, tushas hayom, lefnei Hashem. We usually translate the pasuk that it's a metaphor, it's to be taken figuratively. In the presence of the Lord, you should purify yourself and cleanse your neshama by doing tshuva on Yom Kippur. Saliman says no, but Nei Hashem means prior to entering into Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, you can't be chosen in the Mikvah. It's an ancient union. The days to wash the body of the Lord. They need to wash your face, can't wash your body. So it means with Nei Hashem, before you make up the Tushas Hayam, at Yom Kippur, it's a Torah, you should be chosen in the Mikvah. For what purpose? For the purpose of the Ger HaVolei Nisgaleh. Just like the Ger, the convert, acquires a new Neshama, so to on Yom Kippur, because the Neshama HaYisraelis was instituted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur, that first Yom Kippur, when he gave the Mitzvah Nivus to Avraham Avinu, he created at that time Yesh Me'ayim, this new institution of Kiris Yisrael, the Neshama Yisraelis. At that time, he established that every year on Yom Kippur, just like every year on Rosh Hashanah, this is his statue for the Olam HaTeva, and every year on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, this is his statue for the Hanhova Nisus Levailam and HaTeva. That's why the Halacha says, Lecha Tenisi Rosh Hashanah Amal Yisrael. That is the teaching of Rosh Hashanah Malti Yisrael, and that's when the new year begins. That's when the new system begins again for Hanhova Nitzis, so too, every year on Yom Kippur, we have this opportunity to renew ourselves if we're interested. So the Rav Sadi Gaon thinks that we have to be faithful in the Mikvah. And I'll just say, we don't really trust him like Rav Sadi Gaon and Iker Adin. So we assume, like the Shalosh says, that it's only a minute to be faithful. And leaving out the minute, let's leave out the Rav Sadi Gaon Shita that it's a mitzvah and I tell it to be a mitzvah. Leave out the Shalom minig. Many people don't have the minig to be tzayvah when they're in a mitzvah at all on Erev Yom Kippur. Many people go to a mitzvah the same as Erev Rosh Hashanah, just to fulfill the Takana Tezah. But the Inyan is an Inyan, the Raisa. The Beit Halevi and the Zeke, of course, the Roshan, which stress the difference between one who does tshuva all year long as opposed to one who does tshuva on Yom Kippur. Fascinating the Roshan. We go to Medrash Rabban Parshat Bo and Pasuk HaKodesh HaZelahem, where the Medrash states that when a person sins all year long, when it comes Yom Kippur, when it Kaddish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Soleach Lavan Mitzrayim to give you things. When a person does tshuva all year long, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept tshuva all year long. So what is unique about Yom Kippur? If you don't do tshuva on Yom Kippur, it doesn't mean anything. And all year long if you do tshuva, it's also accepted. So what's unique about Yom Kippur? So we understand Yom Kippur is a time that's more mistuple for tshuva. It's easier for us to do tshuva. It's like if I want to speak to the king, so the king is in his office, the king is in his palace, it's not so easy to get in the office. But if the king starts walking in the street, and he says to his subject, whoever wants to come speak to me, so he makes himself accessible to the people. So do we assume that if I wish hello, and then Aseret HaMei Tshuva, Dirush HaShem, he mutz off, or his book makes himself more accessible, he's not as remote as he normally is all year long, whatever that means, on Aseret HaMei Tshuva, and even Chodesh Elul, he's close, it's like Melech Ba'Sodom, not the Melech Ba'Armon, not the king of the palace, so it's not so easy to approach him. And in Kippur, it's easier to do tshuva. Find that one aspect. But it seems something more than that. The Talmud and the Midrashim and the whole davening on Yom Kippur seems to appear not only that it's a zman that's more mesugal to do tshuva. The weather is different in the summertime than from the wintertime. The climate is different in different areas of the world. Some places are better to plant potatoes, other places are better to plant oranges, other places are better to plant grapes, and so on. So too, there are certain seasons of the year that are more suitable for doing tshuva. That's the whole story of Yom Kippur. It sounds like it's something more than that. Sounds like, that's what the Beis Halacha, sounds like from the davening, from the Talmud, is if the tshuva has a better effect on Yom Kippur than it has all year long. The Talmud says Yom Kippur is mechapa. What do you mean? If you get tshuva, it's good. If you didn't get tshuva, it's nothing. So what's the difference? So he points out, all year long if a person does tshuva, his sins will be forgiven, fine, everything. No punishment, and the neshama will be purified. And Yom Kippur is given, and the neshama is renewed. Not just cleansed, the neshama is renewed. That's what the letter says. When it comes Yom Kippur, when it goes to level, I'm saying, in the Kadesh, Yibom, Yahat, Yiloskoi, Shilema, when it's not to Lechem, Leif Kadosh. That's Yom Kippur, when it's not to Lechem, Leif Kadosh. That's the neshama Yisraelis that was originally given to Avraham Avinu on Yom Kippur, which was commanded to perform Yisrael Milo. That can be renewed every year if one is interested. If he's not interested, he won't get the neshama. He won't get this if he doesn't want to, but he's interested, he can get it. And then he quotes a further midrash, the Yalkut Shimonia and Tosi Kuntili. Am Yidro, Yahalon Koh. The newly created nation will praise God. Who is the newly created nation? So that actually, I speak to him when he goes, look, the Lord comes and creates a new nation. What is that Tosi alluding to? Elo, the midrash says, this refers to all of the people who were sinning. And they were considered Rishay Mechayem Kuri Mason, if they were dead. Then Asid Ulma Vidibora, what is going to happen? And going this problem with Panapa, the Yom Kippur, when the Jewish people come, and they pray to us that we go to Yom Kippur for forgiveness, the October, they are from Briya Kadosha. And Yom Kippur, the Tshuva accomplishes that you acquire this new Neshama, new Briya. And it says that the one becomes like a Kotin Shanara Dhamma, that's the expression that the Talmud uses with respect to a Ger Hamiz Gayer, when a Namji converts, considered Gersh and his guy for Kotin Shanara Dhamma. So this Kedushim Shuswell, this Neshama Yisraelis, can be endowed to people who are interested in Yom Kippur. That's exactly what the Minhag, according to the Shalom, what the Tefillah and the Mikvah is all about, on Erev Yom Kippur, like a Ger, Habom and his Gayer, that after he's told him that he acquires his new Neshama, then we all have this opportunity to renew our Neshama Yisraelis on Yom Kippur. And according to Rav Sadran, it's even a Dimon HaTer, it's even a Dimon HaDeraisa. One is obligated to be told him on the Mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. This is an important, significant idea that has somehow, because it's so obvious in the davening and in the Talmud, Atav HaChatam Kol Amim, because of its obviousness, it's been forgotten by so many Jews. We don't pay attention to what we're saying. There is such a thing as the Jewish people, and they are very different from all of the Emes Olam groups. The Pasuk, Bilam HaRosha, said in his prophecy, Parshas Balak, in the Torah, Hey, man, the Lord of Yishkan, the Lagorim, Lorim, Stasha. The Jewish people are different, but Chayenim of America. Not only is the Jew different while he was alive, the Jew is different after he died. He has to be buried in a different burial place. And not only he was an observant Jew, he was a former Muslim, he was all of his lifetime like Goy Gomo. He was permitted to bury him next to Tzadikim, next to the Shoyim. He was permitted to bury him next to non-Jew. The Jew is considered different, the Chayim of the Moses is a different person. The Bottom, the Lakom, they have different genes in their system. If it's racism, it's not racism. It's not racism. No sense. It's not worth discussing that, but whatever it is, that's what our belief is. This is our work. This is the basic principle in our work. The invention is, every time you daven in the Yom Kippur, the Kishman answer, Atta v'chartan v'kol amim, there is a b'chir v'kishman. This is what we mean when we mention in the davening on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we say, Zeche Litzias Mitzrayim. So the commentaries on the Siddur, the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, and 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 the davening on the Kippur, Zeche Litzias Mitzrayim. Shavuos, we also understand, Zeche Litzias Mitzrayim, but Maimon HaSinai, and Shavuos, there's so if you also understand the Zeche Litzias Mitzrayim, after the Jews left Egypt, they traveled in the desert for 40 years, and they stayed in the Stukas so HaShachi, and then they served on 2 years in the area of Mitzrayim, but all 4 years of traveling was a continuation of the Zeche Litzias Mitzrayim. So the Stukas, in a certain sense, is also Zeche Litzias Mitzrayim. But what in the world does Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur have to do with the Zeche Litzias Mitzrayim? Some give all kinds of historical explanations, which the Guru quotes this, and it's Russian, that something happened on Rosh Hashanah, and it's Kippur. That's not the generally accepted explanation. It's generally assumed that at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the first mitzvah that he gives to the Jewish people at that time was, HaKodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. Because the Prophet gave the Jewish people the power to control time. So I looked at the Neshama Yisraelis, the Lashon of the Yisraelis, the Jewish people at the time, HaKodesh HaZeh Lachem, Hashem gave it to the Jewish people, weakening the Kaddish man. But the Prophet gave us tremendous kaitas. That's why in the Davening, in the Parsham on the Siddur said, that's why when we got him, we say, Atava Hatan Kol Ha'amim, V'ra Ramtan Kol Ha'oshayim. He elevated us above all of the other Neshonim. What do you mean Neshonim? It's a simple translation of the word means Neshonim. Uma V'loshim, the other nations. It's another way of saying, Amim, Umay, Neshonim, nationalities, countries, people, nations. Take the question. But other point that it has another additional meaning. We call Ha'oshayim means speaking, languages. That the Jewish people was given something unique at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we were given the Koyach HaDibur. Kodesh Baruch Hu told us that with our speech, the desert is in Kaddish, something new, we can endow Zman with Kedusha. While the Jewish people were in Egypt, so the Mefarshim HaChumash say they were slaves, and they thought like a slave mentality, very slow, so whatever. But he's going to work his head off, he's not going to get any of the profits anyway. There's no motivation to work, so slaves. Society is very slow, and nothing gets done. You take a million slaves to build a wall. Take a year to get anything done. And then they were freed from Egypt, and then they knew that whatever they're going to do is going to be theirs. That's capitalistic African life. If you know that whatever you work is going to go in your bank account, and if you work hard, you're going to have more money. So then the people work harder, and time meant something to them. Before time didn't mean anything. So that whatever they would accomplish would go to the Yodon. But after they were free, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm giving time in your hands, not just I'm giving time in your hands that's meaningful, but the free people, I give you the ability to endow time with Kedusha. And it was at that time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the prayer of Abibur, without prayers we can accomplish a lot in Tfilah. Tfilah as well. And the Russian said, I call Yankee, refers to the prayer of Abraham Israel in Tfilah. And we have a prayer of neder, a shvur. The Talmud says that an Andrew takes a neder of a shvur. It's not binding. Even if he's an ethical fellow, that he doesn't have to keep a neder of a shvur. The Jew takes a neder of a shvur. That's binding. His zibur accomplishes something. That's what it means. The Ramah Tom and Paul Shari. The simple meaning is that he elevated us above all the other nationalities. But the reason why we use this unique expression, Lishonos means languages, that the Koyach HaDibur of the Jewish people was given a mile. Shama Yisraelis has the ability to do something more with Dibur than the Yom HaSoyim. The Reif Shitus HaDvarim is such a basic, elementary, fundamental idea, and our religion somehow in our generation has been forgotten. It has become so general, so universal, we have already forgotten the union of the three people. We think that we're the same as the Yom HaSoyim. But we have more obligations. We're not the same. We have bottom-up means that we have different genes in our neshamas that run differently. And we read in this big sentence, the Torah tells us, he loved the Shachat Nati Zara, Moshe Rabbeinu, before he died, was very nervous. He knew that he was the Adon, and the Vinim, and the Shechidim, and the Baberet, and the Zabron, and when he opened his mouth, the Torah just rolled out. It was a whole different level of Nehuah, and he was very nervous. He's about to die. He's going to give over the mantle of leadership to his student, Yeshua Nun. Wonderful student, he got 100 on all the exams. Extra credit, everything, but how did he compare? Moshe Rabbeinu, with all of his ability, knew how did Yeshua Nun compare to him? And he's very nervous. What's going to be? The Torah is going to be forgotten. He's petrified. He's pleading with a holy prophet. He left me. Moshe Rabbeinu was in good condition. He was very healthy. wasn't that his goal reflected in his Yerbach position? So he's pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alright. So Baruch Hu said, my divine scheme is that it's time now for Yeshua to take over the leadership of the Jewish people. My name, Alphus Nagas, the Chav, Tachim, and my name, when it's time for you, government, when it's time for you, leader, to take over, the old leader has to disappear. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, but what after dark? So let me be the Rabbi Emeritus. And then, Yeshua Levion will be the Rabbi, and I'll be a balabuz by him. And so the Rabbi Shalom said, because he was so nervous, he's going to be Shikhat HaTayra. He knew who Yeshua was, and the letter said that even the Ummah Sa'ilam recognized it. The Jewish people, everybody knew it. The letter's time is going to talk to Shem and the Kali Mo, Shuach Melach Bo, that the Ummah Bengal is Hashem. Much less correct than Moshe Rabbeinu. So we'll start off with the Jewish people during the lifetime of Yeshua, not with Moshe Rabbeinu. It was obvious to everybody that Moshe Rabbeinu was on a much higher level. Moshe Rabbeinu was very nervous. And the Medrash speaks of it. That's why he wants the 13 Sifrei Torah. He wasn't commanded by God to write 13 Sifrei Torah. He gave one Sifrei Torah to each one of the tribes. What Rashi puts? And he said, what was he nervous about? Shikha Tatera, Ziyu Tatera, and then he says, he If you're going to corrupt everything, you're going to forget everything. So he's pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let him remain alive. I'll be the rabbi emeritus. Let this young fellow be the rabbi. And behind the scenes, whenever he needs a little help, I'll help him under. I'll help him out a little bit. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, don't let him kill us. He's shock up and be there. I think that the Torah will not be forgotten. That's what that response is given in this 6-7. The Medrash says that he was concerned about. And that was the answer. Don't worry, kill us. He's shock up and be there. But the portion there, how could it be that there is a Hatzotah promise in the Torah that the Torah will never be forgotten? First, one time I quote the pasuk in the Navi Amos, and the prophet Amos writes, he says that there will come a day that the Jewish people will be hungry and thirsty, and they will have and they will be hungry and thirsty for Dvar Hashem. He shows it to them, he's looking all over, they won't be able to find Dvar Hashem. So the first time it says, even in the Vua and Amos, I see the parashat Teshtakach Mitzvah. They will come, that the Torah will be forgotten, and the woman won't know whether the loaf of bread is kosher or trade for sure. One base medicine, another sure, another rabbi, nobody will know the answer, the whole Torah will be forgotten. The Rabbakim will know, the Rabbi will know, nobody will know. That's the first time. The next time it says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, no! For he's the whole half to show us at this time. What do you mean? Very good. God promised Moshe Rabbeinu, there's nothing to worry about. That's because he was nervous about Shikha Tatar. God told him today, said, if you like to show him, bizarre, don't worry about it. And that's why I'm the keeper of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. They're wrong. They have that pasuk written, but he was the one who quoted that pasuk. He wrote the shachach and tizah, they have it written in the semicircle, and they point out that the last letters of T, Los Shachach and tizah, are Yochai. That's why they have it written in different letters. The last letter T is a yud, Lo is an aleph, is shachach. Los Shachach is a tent, and tizah is a yud and a god. Tells us the name Yochai, this was his pasuk, Shem Yochai's pasuk. So the Talmud points out, and that's the way generally assumed, that we have a Haftarah, the Torah will never be forgotten. So the question begs itself, how can they have such a promise? Don't we believe in the principle of the freedom of choice? People have freedom of choice. So what do you mean the Torah won't be forgotten? What if the world decides we don't want to learn? Oh, we learn it, we don't want to have it, we'll forget the whole Torah. But if you have clear options, it is theoretically possible that everyone will choose. So the overwhelming majority of the Jews have chosen not to learn. We're the Akshonim, we're the Mishizom who go, who continue to learn a little bit. A little Shmek Tavik that we learn. What if we'll decide that we don't want to learn? So that like nothing, so nobody will know. So how can the Torah promise to Yosh Nom Pezaro if everybody has the Chiyuach option? The same question in the first one, the Rambam calls that the hope of Tshuva, based on another passage. And in last week's day, the Rambam points out, for the Ticha, Lono HaTorah, the Torah has promised us, that Sof Mishal Yisrael has its children. At the end of the day, the Jewish nation will do children. How can it be that the Torah promises that the Jewish people will do children? Isn't that a violation of the principle? It's in contradiction to the principle of Chirach Hoshes. If people have Chirach Hoshes, everyone can decide. I don't want to do children. So the whole Jewish people can decide they don't want to do children. So how can it be that we have these two promises, the Torah will never be forgotten, and that the Jewish people will ultimately, in the end of the day, sometime or another, do children? What happens to the Chirach Hoshes? So the answer is given. Is it true or not true? And that's also true. We believe in Kirafachis, but we believe that Kirafachis is restrictive. I don't have Kirafachis to stand up against the Shiku. The Torah wouldn't, the Rabban Shalom wouldn't give me the ability. It wouldn't give me the right even to decide on such a thing. Unless you deserve some punish for something that you did, then the Rabban Shalom will give everybody the Kirafachis to decide to kill you or not. And then we'll come another Rosh and he'll decide to kill you. But if you don't deserve to die, you don't deserve any suffering or any punishment. I don't even have the clear options. I cannot desire to harm you. I cannot harm you. Everyone's clear options is restricted. So that's what we believe. True, there is the clear options, but there are certain limitations. The limitations are, these are two of the limitations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has built into the computer system over here that there will be an Ummah Yisrael and there will be a Torah. This has to be. This is non-negotiable, this cannot change. As the Nami Yirmiyah, the other thing he says, Nami Yirmiyah says in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Peirot Lamed, just like I created the sun to shine in the daytime, and I created the moon and the stars to shine at night, so too I created the Jewish people. And just like all of the laws of nature will not be changed, so to the Jewish people will last forever. The other prophets say, the Nabi Malachi says, Ani Hashem Lo Shemit, V'atem Bnei Akev Lo Chelit, and the Jewish people will never die out. Talmud even goes further and says, Gemiri, we have a tradition, the local shift in Israel. Not only the whole Jewish nation, any one given shaving will never die out. Each shaving is a different call. Every shaving is considered like the whole Klal Yisrael. And the promise to HaTochah that Klal Yisrael will not go under applies to each shaving individually. We don't know who's from which shaving, but the Talmud tells us, Gemiri, we have a tradition Allah mentioned zinat means that no shame, it will never go on. Why? That's part of the adab. Even though people may decide, they all want to convert to some other religion and no one wants to know terror. No! But if both put this into the system, this is true. Will always remain, and the Torah will always remain with the Jewish people. That's why he forced it down our throats to show that it's not up to us to decide. We want it, we don't want it, we decide if we want it, that's what we're obligated to keep Torah because we decide enough. So the Baruch Hu offered it us first. He offered the Torah to the Jewish people to see if we're cut out for the Torah. And then when we said yes, it wasn't that because we agreed to enter into the contract, that's why it's binding. No, but it was forced it upon us. It was Mechayavah, because Torah is something that the Baruch Hu wants in this world. So it is on Yom Kippur. It is on Yom Kippur that we celebrate this historical event of the Bechiras Yisrael, the initial Bechiras Yisrael that was endowed by one of our leaders. Time and look at the world of I'd like to speak about one aspect. Some of the aspects regarding Yom Kippur, regarding Tshuva, I'd like to speak about one aspect of Yom Kippur, which is related to this first aspect of the Chiyuv Yisrael. Hanam Nevo, the Jewish people are different. They don't blend in with the military. Not while they were alive, not after they died. They just don't blend in. says I like that?
It says,
Kemovit Maneno,
and in our days,
Iran has to weapon you.
Or dangerous because there's a war going on and because we cannot travel to another place.
So he says,
Yeshiv Levato Yechidi, the person should live all by himself and not associate with the other. You have no choice, never. Yeshiv Bodhi Vido. And he says, and if you need me, you have to move to the Midbar, you have to move to the desert. A person should be careful not to associate with people who are Bali Averi, because one thing will lead to another. The Talmud tells us, Kafu Darko Shal Yetzahar, this is the wilderness of the Yetzahar. He tells me to do a slight little Averi. What's so terrible? Say hello to the girl, say, having a party, whatever. So you go to the party, that's a real man. I'm a religious person, I'll be careful. Not to be Nusha. I'm sure that what shaykh can I have with the girl. What can happen if I go to the university or the company is having a party at the end of the season? Kachi, who knows the Shalyat Sahara, Thomas says, he talks you into doing a slight good love, right? And then after you do that slight love, Hayyar Mamalok Kachi, the Mahar tomorrow, Mamalok Kachi will say, choose what you have a little bit. Until ultimately, choose what you have a little bit, until he will tell you, Lehavay, 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 nothing needs to be added. And we've seen it with our own eyes. It happens all the time. Happens all the time. After the Gohu, when he created, Adam Marisha said right away, no Tol Peyot from Adam Marisha. But man cannot live by himself. We have to have Kavut, we have to have Kaverus. The mission is less correct. Moshe Rabbeinu, but we'll start off with the Jewish people during the lifetime of Yishol, not with Moshe Rabbeinu. It was obvious to everybody that Moshe Rabbeinu was on a much higher level. Moshe Rabbeinu was very nervous. And the men who speak to this, that's why he wants the 13 Sifrei Torah. He wasn't commanded by God to write 13 Sifrei Torah. He gave one to the 13th one of the tribes. What Rashi puts? So I think most of the people here tonight, probably all of us, belong to the centrist group. We all deal with the outside world. We all go to business. We don't sit in Davin and say Tillim and learn all day long. Yeah, and we try to succeed in keeping Torah Mitzvah. And we believe it is possible. It says in the Torah that it is possible. There is such a derech hamamutzana, but it's Hashem also that it fits there based on Sufutana, not for the beginning. And this is sometimes to be recommended. Also, there are chlada, Rama Maikam, the day that a person is commanded the halak to be dropped, to go in the name of God, and he decides what is the derech Hashem, so the Rama says, let it go to the spring, he says, come to the Tanakh, you understand, God's ways to be, middle of moderation, middle of the road. So we should go, Derech Hashem, Derech HaMemus, Derech Lach. So we can understand why many people are attracted to this Derech and Avodas Hashem that we call the centrist Derech, so to speak. That can relate to the world a little bit, but you keep holding the Torah Mitzvahs. The Torah Mitzvahs living with the world. We don't remove ourselves from the world. But we have to keep in mind that the Rambam does write in Hilchos Devar that there are sometimes that a person does have to go through the Mitzvah. It says on the top, it says on the Torah. The Rambam writes that sometimes a person, in order to remain healthy, should always do everything in moderation. She should eat too much, she should stay connected too much, she should eat the right amount, she should eat too much, she should eat too little. Everything should be done with moderation. But he writes that sometimes if a person is sick, he doesn't feel well, so he has to do exactly what he does. Take off from work and go to sleep for a couple of days, and you get better. I'm not sleeping too much. What kind of character are you showing by your body? They're wrong. They have that toast written. So he was the one who quoted that toast. If you go to the shop, you see that they have it written in there. In the semicircle, and they point out that the last letters of T, Los Shafi Tizara, was your Chayim. That's why they have it written in different letters. The last letter T is a Yud, Lo is an Aleph, is a Shafi. Los Shafi Tizara, the Tizara, the Yud of the God, tells us the name Yochai, this was his puzzle, Shem Yochai's puzzle. So the Talmud points out, and that's the way generally assumed, that we have a Haftorah, the Torah will never be forgotten. So the question is begs itself, how can they have such a promise? Don't we believe in the principle of the Tzivah Pashim? People have freedom of choice. So what do you mean the Torah won't be forgotten? What if the world is done? You don't want to learn? Oh, you'll learn it. You don't want to have it. We'll forget the whole Torah. But yet, Tzivah Pashim, it is theoretically possible that everyone will choose. So the overwhelming majority of the Jews have shown you not to learn. Really, I've shown them, even if you're going to go, we'll continue to learn a little bit. And a little, the next topic that we learn. What if we'll decide that we don't want to learn? So that's like nothing, so nobody will know. So how can the Torah promise Kilo Shalom Pezaro if everybody has the Chiyuv Hashem? The same question in the first verse, the Rambam points out the help of the children. It's on another passage. And unless it says, the Rambam points out, Parhiticha Lono HaTorah, the Torah has promised us, that Dov Mishal Yisrael out of the children. At the end of the day, the Jewish nation will do children. How can it be that the Torah promises that the Jewish people will do children? Isn't that a violation of the principle? It's in contradiction to the principle of Chiyuv Hashem. If people have Chiyuv Hashem, so everyone can decide. I don't want to do children. So the whole Jewish people can decide they don't want to do children. So how can it be that we have these two promises, the Torah will never be forgotten, and that the Jewish people will ultimately, in the end of the day, sometime or another, do children? What happens to the Chiyuv Hashem? So the answer is given. We said, sure enough, true enough, also true. We believe in Chiyuv Hashem, but we believe that the Chiyuv Hashem is restricted. I don't have Chiyuv Hashem to stand over there to shoot you. The Torah wouldn't, the Rabban Shalom wouldn't give me the ability, it wouldn't give me the right even to decide on such a thing. Unless you deserve some punish for something that you did, then the Rabban Shalom will give everybody the Chiyuv Hashem to decide to kill you on that, and then will come another Rosh and he'll decide to kill you. But if you don't deserve to die, you don't deserve any suffering or any punishment. I don't even have the clear options. I cannot desire to harm you. I cannot harm you. Everyone's clear options is restricted. So that's what we believe. True, there is the clear options, but there are certain limitations. The limitations are, these are two of the limitations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has built into the computer system over here that there will be an Ummah Yisraelis and there will be a Torah. This has to be. This is non-negotiable, this cannot change. As the Navi Yirmiyah, the other Navi says, Navi Yirmiyah says in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Peret Lamed, just like I created the sun to shine in the daytime and I created the moon and the stars to shine at night, so too I created the Jewish people. And just like all of the laws of nature will not be changed, so too the Jewish people will last forever. The other prophets say, the Navi Malachim says, Jewish people will never die out. Talmud even goes further and says, Gemiri, we have a tradition of lifestyle, eating, drinking, moderation, and enjoying the pleasures of all of that. Moderation is related to the outcome of moderation and everything. But there are some times that you cannot act with moderation. It's impossible. You have to go to an extreme. So keeping this in mind, we should all be careful. It's such a double question. But somehow it's been lost to so many Jewish people who have many religious issues. They go to universities and then they become no more than them. They're going to learn to receive the next flow. 2 years, 3 years. They come back, they go to Goethe University. They go to Yeshiva Park. They go to Goethe University and then even without going to the dumpster. They have a couple months to Yamaha to go to work. They have a couple months to practice in Goethe. And then they go to college home. They use the whole religious observance. Or they get jobs in a Goethe term and they cover it with all the other people. So you do your job and you go home. What shaykhus does the person have to stay on in the job and visit the others and have parties with the others? You're talking with the son. That's why the rabbis prohibited Sanyanim of Mishalakum and Pasakum and Mishaykhur of Yakum. What was the prohibition? Shema Yomim Mimasa. You have so many Gemaras with the rabbis later here. They're ribbons. They're everything. Every other parent in the Talmud has some kind of exaggeration of God because this will lead to too much association with non-Jews, non-observant Jews, and we will lose our religious observance. And we cannot be such chacham, and we cannot think that we will be careful and we will know that we're religious to live and this is the rule of the young God. This idea comes from guidance. People think that they're so smart, they're going to outsmart the rabbi, they're going to outsmart the rabbi. So the accepted explanation is that is given by the Maharam as well. Just my proposal in the introduction, that if the Torah would have been given to the Jewish people because they said, we sign a contract, we agree, not to finish. Then it'll be like, we agreed, and it will negotiate at some later date that will break the contract to both parties. So that'll be the end of it. God wants to show that it cannot be. This is something that he built into the system of Teva, put into the genes of the Jewish people, there is clear option, but restricted. The Jewish people will always remain, and the Torah will always remain with the Jewish people. That's why he forced it down our throats to show that it's not up to us to decide. We want it, we don't want it, we decide we want it, that's why we're obligated to keep Torah because we decided not. The Baruch Hu offered it up to us. He offered the Torah to the Jewish people to see if we're cut out for the Torah. And then when we said yes, it wasn't that because we agreed to enter into the contract, that's why it's binding. No, but the Baruch Hu forced it upon us. He was Mechayiva, because Torah is something that the Baruch Hu wants in this world. So it is on Yom Kippur. It is on Yom Kippur that we celebrate this historical event of the Bechiras Yisrael, the initial Bechiras Yisrael that was endowed by Avraham Avinu. Time is that we will give it. I'd like to speak about one aspect. Some of the aspects regarding Kippur, regarding Tshuva, I'd like to speak about one aspect of Kippur, which is related to this first aspect of the Kippur Yisrael. Hanam Levod, the Jewish one, the Azayim of the country. The Jewish people are different. They don't blend in with the Minnesota. Not while they were alive, not after they died. They just don't blend in. Philip Sashon points out that Hasdomah, we mentioned earlier, that there are many things that are so self-evident, that are so obvious, and they're well known. And because they're so well known, a lot of times we tend to forget about them. We slip our minds. The rabbi mentioned earlier that I have a connection with the Orthodox Union Kashmir Division. So a lot of the work that we do there is to try to figure out how to solve problems that we shall offer. Make sure the food is kosher. And if you know that the food is kosher, you have to make sure that it's not cooked by a non-Jew, because if the food is cooked by a non-Jew, there is a rabbinical prohibition from eating it, even if everything is kosher, therefore the ingredients are kosher. Why did the rabbi, years ago, the only one was so careful about the Mishalach, because years ago, we were happy if the food would be kosher for the Yevet, so the OU would offer many years ago, 40 years ago, so people would be happy. Life in America was very difficult, and we had a problem with Shulchan Aruch and Shachar Tzav with the Yevdomi, the Shachar Tzav, the last thing that even if I say that normally only acceptable for the Yevdomi. So it was so difficult that we used to give a hand. Thomas says that there was one time a Shimon HaMisoini who started Darshan and Sufi with the policy that every time it says S, the what means something. Bereshit Bara Elokim Et Hashamayim. That's all right. Every time it says that, you have to be marked. It's a reason. Yeah, God, it's a reason. So we started from the beginning of Bereshit, Darshan, and we go there. Until we got to the middle of the barn. One and a half barn, right? Until we got to the middle of the barn, we got to the pasuk Et Hashem of the Tehav Tira. And it said that that we shoot the whole thing. What do you mean? Et is marked that one should not only fear God, he should fear the Son and the Holy Ghost. Who else is there? There's only one God in heaven above. That's all. So he realized that his whole thesis was wrong, and told the students it's all wrong. He said, but Rebbe, what's going to be all the shiurim? We heard years and years of shiurim, every yes. So he said, at the time that we said the shiurim, we thought that that was correct, so we got reward, we're going to get reward for attempting to learn Torah. And now that we realize that it's all wrong, so now we're not allowed to say any drushes on the word yes. He said, Kishem Shetibati Tara, just like I got reward for saying the drushes all the year, because I thought it was correct, Kapa Kapa Tara Adrisha, now that we realize that it's all wrong, so from now on we're not allowed to say the drushes is wrong. So that was the position of Shimon on Tzedek. Then the Talmud says this was Rav Shibar Rav Akiva, till the next time Rav Akiva came along and he said, no, he agrees with the Drasha S, the thesis is correct, he never says S, it's the Rabbah's S and Gamma's Marga. This part of that, Shimon says, is not Marga the son of Hong Kong, there's no one else up there then. S, the Rabbah's Hamidah Chachamah, the Bara Rabbah, Kimor Shamayim, this is the source of that din in Pir Piyot. And Shimon on Tzedek is Marga Hamidah Chachamah, why should that be so? So we assume that S is always marked as something which is proper to the original thing. For example, the Chumash says that a person has to go to the mikveh, the Rochak is called the Torah Bamai. It's a Talmud Talmud. It's a very thing. It's a very good thing. S on top of the Torah. Not only does the body have to be submerged below the water of the mikveh, the hair. If a person has long hair, the all of the hair has to be submerged. Even if the Pasuk says the Rochak is called the Torah, Bamai means the body. When you come off the Torah, the Talmud Darshan from the word S, Hatoka Luxoro, S refers to the hair, which is attached to the body, and Toko to the body. Or the Talmud comments on the Pasuk in Mishpatim regarding the Shara Niska. It says, Velo Yeyachal Ez Besor, the Shara killed a human being, but it doesn't have a mitzvah to make it, Martin to kill a Shara, and if it didn't kill a Shara, it's Pasuk Achim Otsubano. So the Pasuk says, Velo Yeyachal Ez Besor. What do you mean, S is a meditative Majora, Velo Yeyachal Besor? The Talmud says, S is the Rabbah's Oro, his skin is also prohibited. Leather. Even though the sorrow is the flesh, whenever there's a din, let's say non-kosher animal, the skin of the non-kosher animal may be eaten. There's nothing wrong with the skin. If you make something from the skin, it will be kosher. But here it says, lo yachal es b'sar, not only is the flesh of the shamanist kolosu b'anah, the skin is also from off the death, it's not es ha-tofil of so, something that's tofil to the boss. So here also it says, es ha-shem l'kachas hiro, our own practice means, marvin, not only should you fear God, you should fear those human beings who are tofil. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who are those who are tofil, the tzaddikim. The Talmidei Chachamim, why are they tofil? The day of Yirah Shemayim, they're closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the obvious thing that I just want to bring out. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Deyo, speaks about Midot, what a person should do, how a person should think. He writes that we all know, the beginning of Perek Vav in Hilchos Deyo, Derech Briyasa Shalodam, the way man's nature is, Leah Zimshach, the Yosef, the Maisef, Achareh, the Chaveros, every person is attracted and follow. Most people are followers, and here and there, there's a person who's a leader. So most people will naturally tend to blend in with the society, both in their thoughts and in their actions. Achareh, they have his friends, Achaveros, and his associates. Noyeg, the Noyeg, and Minig, Ashim, and Dinasa, he lives the same as everybody else does. And the Talmud tells us, Leonim Tahidat, the Shalom, or Revis, and Marbir, the person who tells us to act the way everybody else acts. The Fichach, therefore, Tzarek, Adam, and Hibbabel, and Tzadikim. The person has to be very careful only to be friendly with tzaddikim, with religious Jews. They should take off a common tongue and to stay close to Rabbanim, Hamidah Hakamim. Today, Shiyum of Yom HaSeh, Yisrach of Minar Hashem, you should stay with Minar Hashem. And that's what the Pesubi tell us. The first cost is in Tilek. Ashrei hi yishishel lo halach batas, and shabu derech atam lo yomar, and noshav lo yitim lo yoshav. So the Talmud comes in the Pesubi, a person has to be careful, Asher lo halach, he shouldn't even go on a trip to travel together with the Rosh Hashanah. If they travel together just a few minutes, this will lead one thing will lead to the other. If there are HaTan Mayomah, he will stand and talk to the other person. And if he stands and he talks to the Rosh Hashanah, then he will sit and talk to the Rosh Hashanah. And if he sits and he talks to the Rosh Hashanah, then he will pick up from the Rosh Hashanah's way of thinking. From the non-Jewish way of thinking, or from the non-observant Jewish way of thinking. And the Rambam writes, what do you do if you live in a community, you live in a country, you roll up the people of Bali out there, they're all growing, or they're all mammoth versus you. The problem is, if you live in the Medina Shemim HaBal, they're all growing, all of the people are evil, they're not a shareholder, and the people in that country are not holding the Derek Mishael, because you have to move to a different country. And if all of the Medinas are like that, it says, Kimobit Manena, and in our day, the Ram has to work with you. Or dangerous because there's a war going on and because we cannot travel to another place. So he says, Yeshiv Levado Yechidi, the person should live all by himself and not associate with you. Levado, you have no choice, never. Yeshiv Levado Yechidi. And he says, and if you need me, you have to move to the Mikor, you have to move to the desert. A person should be careful not to associate with people who are Bali Averi, because one thing will lead to another. The Talmud tells us, Kaku Darko Shal Yetzahar, this is the rumness of the Yetzahar. He tells you to do it, like little Averi, like, what's our talent? Say hello to the person, having a party, whatever. So you go to the party, but the room, now I'm a religious person, I'll be careful, not to be Nusha. I'm sure everything, what should I have to have with the brother? What can happen if I go there to the university, or the company, is having a party at the end of the day? The Talmud says he talks you into doing a slight little Averi. And then after you do that slight Averi, how young am I going to lock down? For the tomorrow, I'm locked down with a chisel off another little bit. Until ultimately, the chisel to the truth, until he will tell you, lay how very well he does. How can you see the other? And we've seen it with our own eyes. It happens all the time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created Adam and Eve, he said right away, no soul can help from Adam and Eve. If man can't live by himself, we have to have Kavuti, we have to have Kaveri. The Mishnah says how important it is. The Mishnah says the other says, Say lecha rabbi, knei lecha chover. Every person has to have a chover. And having a chover, having a Kavuti, to learn having a Kavuti, to talk over chover le'etza, to talk over issues, to discuss the problems. If you want to discuss where to invest your money, if you have some money, you can discuss with a guy also. Then we have a common denominator. You want to discuss what you're going to do with your life, whom you're going to marry, what kind of a job you're going to go to, where you should go for vacation, and these kind of measures, which university you should go to, which graduate school, and so on, things that are against your life, not some superficial things. So these you have to discuss with us out there. That's going to memphis bunch, our current existence plan. In life, you have to have 48 things in order to come out right. So one of them is Zibut Chaveri. And the Talmud tells us how important it is. In our current existence, ever the Chavut, a person will only be successful in learning Torah, making all decisions in life. I'm going to tell you, turning in Torah, leading one's life. You have to have Chavutza. The Pasuk says initially, there's a shul, there's no joy. The person will reach the right decision upon consultation. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam writes to him, Chumash, he says, and after the Baruch Hu decided to create a nation, he said, Na'asa Adam b'Samon, let's create a nation. Let's create a nation. Nobody else there. Who would you consult with? If you believe in the Trinity, some other religion. So all the gods got together and they decided, okay, we believe monotheism. So who does God consult with? So the matter says he consulted with the angels. What do they need the angels? They have to consult with the angels. The Rashi goes to the Medrash to teach us a lesson of humility. But even God writes to be consulted with other people. We should always consult with us. When we're investing in business, that's really what we're going to be doing in business. So when we invest, we should consult with us. Got to consult with all these people who go crazy. You don't have the answer. You have to consult with a small group of intelligent people so you'll know where to invest your money. If you want to decide something in life, so a person should show for all your there also. You have to have a few yoyot to discuss it with. And you shouldn't make decisions on your own. Just like the Rebbeinu Shel Olam hits the piyatzma. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam writes about himself that he consulted with others, with the angels. So he created others. That's why he's telling him. So that's why you should lead our lives as well. We should always consult. And the person has to be very careful on these Kaverim, that they should be Kaverim the Dayo. They should be religious Jews. This is the problem. We send our children to out-of-town university. We let them go into the dormitory there, so they're living with great. You don't send them to the dormitory. You send them to the university in New York City just to go sit in classes with the great. It's unbelievable. It's a big problem. People work in the offices, and they're associated with going all the time. Did they just keep their hours 9 to 5 to 5 to do their work in the hall? Find their own business partners. But every business wants to have camaraderie and friendship among all the workers. They think they're right and they're wrong. They think that will help that the business should run better, everybody gets along better. So they have parties every so often, get together, picnics, and whatever, trips, This is exactly what the Torah tells us. We're not allowed to do that. Alt is Chaka La Rosh. A person has to be very careful who his Kaveri more. How can the Jews blend into the Goyim? That's exactly what Bill and Marosha said. We know that there were always different approaches to Avodas Hashem. And we see it right from the truth. Somebody has to see one of the newspapers, and since I don't know, they used to have Zionist newspapers at that time. So one newspaper they were discussing, is there such a thing as right, left, and centrist Judaism? So they had different people writing to the newspaper. So he wrote an essay which he printed in his tshuva, the Meshav Dorah. He writes absolutely there is, but it's not the way it says in the newspaper that you have the Orthodox and the Reform and people keep the 300 mitzvahs out of the 630 mitzvahs. No! That's not, that's right and left. There it is, it's not religious, it's religious. No, he says, but then all the Jews keep all of the mitzvahs to the best of their ability. There's right and left and the center. But the Orthodoxies, the top Orthodoxies, they keep all the mitzvahs that are not at the top of mind. He says, and he describes based on Psukim and Tumish and Tarach and the Russians, he always has their long arithmetic. He explains, right, are those who choose the path and avodas Hashem. They don't want to have anything to do with this world. They sit in a garden all day. The way we have an image of Meir Shoch, not exactly the same as our son, but Meir Shoch, the last quarter, they're doing all the business here. But the way we would visualize Meir Shoch, they sit in a garden all day long, and they say, till them, they do mitzvahs, and they don't have any show. They don't read newspapers, they don't know about politics, they don't get involved in anything in this world. They're just serving for the world. Then the centrist, orthodox, or those who have a little shaykhist, with the world, but they keep all of the mitzvahs. And then the left would be those who also keep all of the Torah mitzvahs and have more of a shaykhus to this world. Because I have to say that each person, depending on what he's cut out for, should choose his derech and avodas Hashem. So I think most of the people here tonight, probably all of us, belong to the centrist group. We all deal with the outside world, we all go to business, we don't sit in daven and say tefillin and learn all day long. Yeah, and we try to succeed in keeping Torah mitzvahs. And we believe it is possible. So there are times that it's possible. There is such a derech hamamut on avodas Hashem also that it is based on something that is not something that we do. And this is sometimes to be recommended. Also, there are chlal, the Rambam writes in the Tzidkeis, that a person is commanded the halach to be drunk if he's only ready with God. And he decides, what is the derech Hashem? So the Rambam says, never to go to extreme. He says, something to the Tanakh. You understand? The God's ways to be, middle of moderation, middle of the road, that we should go, but Derech Hashem, but Derech HaMemus, but Derech Yah. So we can understand why many people are attracted to this Derech and Avodas Hashem that we call the centrist Derech, so to speak. That you relate to the world a little bit, but you keep all of the Torah mitzvahs, the Torah mitzvahs living with the world. We don't remove ourselves from the world. But we have to keep in mind that the Rambam does write in Hilchos Devot that there are some times that a person does have to go to an extreme. It says something top of it, it says something total. The Rambam writes that sometimes a person, in order to remain healthy, should always do everything in moderation. She should eat too much, she should stay connected too much, she should eat the right amount, she should eat too much, she should eat too little. Everything should be done with moderation. But he writes that sometimes if a person is sick, he doesn't feel well, so he has to exactly tell him, take off from work and go to sleep for a couple of days, and you get better. Aren't sleeping too much, sleeping more than 7-8 hours a day is not healthy? No, because when you're not well, so it's healthy. And then you'll sleep a little extra until you come back to yourself, and then you'll go back to a normal routine. It's not healthy to keep on drinking all day, but if you're on medication, sometimes you have to drink a lot. And then after you get better, after you finish taking your medication, then you go back to your normal, whatever, a couple of quarts of liquid a day. It's not healthy to fast too much, sometimes you have to tell the doctor to fast. You have a certain system to fast. Sometimes it's not healthy to eat too much. So the doctor will sometimes tell you, yes, when I'm falling, you have to eat a lot, you have to exercise a lot, you shouldn't exercise at all. Sometimes when a person is sick, so the Rambam says his body will go through it, so you have to go through an extreme for a while. To go to the opposite extreme until everything straightens out, then he goes back to moderation. So the Rambam writes that the same is true for the Jews in Kolei HaNefesh, just like in Kolei HaGuf. And the person is a Bal Aveir in some area or another. So sometimes in order to straighten out the Aveir, he has to go to the opposite extreme until he will straighten out. After he straightens out, then he can flip back and go take the moderate position to go to their future generation. This is our obligation. But then after they consult, they decide whether what the rabbi told them makes sense or not. So they're going to make sense, they're going to follow.